Hey, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about the topic of new beginnings or origin stories. Are you a big comic book Marvel fan origin story type of guy?
So it seems like we always get into this confession time. I've seen none of the new Avenger movies.
Okay.
At all. Not that I don't have interest in it, but I just don't have interest in it. When I was younger, like Spider-Man, I liked that when they came out with the new movie. But I never really got into comic books or anything that much. I blame my parents. They didn't want me to fill my mind with that kind of stuff.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh. Strength? Super strength?
I see. I'd be the Flash, man.
Because that was where my thought process went. Like, if you've got something like that, a physical attribute, like, you could dominate sports.
It's interesting how, like, if you look at their origin stories, like, you know, some of them are aliens. Like, I think Superman's an alien, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have other ones, like the Green Lantern finds something that makes him powerful.
Oh.
And then you have, like, Hulk or Spider-Man, who somehow is chemically induced to be that. But they have this moment or this beginning where they're just different. And there is this part of scripture that kind of talks about a new beginning for us, but it starts with the idea that God comes to the earth, that Jesus takes on flesh, and he comes to the earth, and he comes because we needed to be rescued, that we needed a new start, that we needed a new beginning, we needed a new origin story. Our old origin story is that we were created, God created man, humanity, and then we fell. We fell from what we were supposed to be, we fell from being in the presence of him, and the Bible describes it as sin or the fall, and then you have this whole rest of the story that's going toward this place of redemption or a new beginning or a new origin or a new story. And that's our story had to be connected to God's story. And the Bible says that if we believe in Christ, if we're connected to Christ and what he's done for us, God comes in the body. He's 100% human, 100% divine. He takes on flesh, walks in our footsteps and dies on a cross for us. And it's the supreme sacrifice for us, this perfect lamb, his blood shed for us. And when we receive him, the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ or we've received Christ, he's a new creation. He has a new story. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And because of Jesus, we have this new beginning, a new origin story. And it's this really an incredible story, this really good news that God came to rescue us, because our old story is a pretty terrible story. The book of Mark starts off, and it begins with this. I like the book of Mark, by the way.
It's a good one.
It's really short. It's one of it's the Gospel of Mark, or it's not really Mark's gospel. It's Jesus' gospel. Or Jesus' good news, which gospel means. But he starts off in the first verse. He says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And he just gets to it. Like, there's just no...
A man of action.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to just tell you what's going on here. I'm not going to beat around the bush. And he just gets to it. Here's the good news. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. And it's one of those books, if you haven't been reading the Bible, this is a great place to start. It's 16 chapters, and maybe your New Year's resolution is to get into the scripture. That's a great place to start. 16 chapters, you'll get an easy, quick win in 2024. But what's interesting about the first part of it, he keeps going over this idea of wilderness, and all through the text, It begins to, in the first 12 or 13 verses, he talks about wilderness. He talks about wilderness over and over again. And the first part of it talks about this other guy who was a part of the wilderness. He was a wild man. His name was John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he's baptizing people in the wilderness. And John was there and he was baptized and he was making the path or the way to Jesus available to people. And he baptized them with repentance. But it talks about this wilderness. He's out in the wilderness. And all through the Old Testament, when it talks about the wilderness, it's not talking about nice pine trees and campfires. It's talking about a desert land. It's talking about a desolate land. It's talking about a place without food, without water, without anything, all the resources that you would and I would need to survive. And there's this imagery in the Old Testament, and the listeners in the first century, when they heard this book of Mark, they would have picked up on that pretty quickly. This idea of wilderness, this idea of desert, this idea of being without water, without food, without resource, and understood what that actually meant. It's imagery that's connected to the reality that our origin story is a story that is without God. And Jesus comes on the scene to repair the relationship that we have with God, to lead us out of the wilderness, if you will. And I think it's just an interesting place where you see like these connections between the Old and the New Testament, and it's referring back to when they were in the wilderness, when it talks about the Exodus, and they leave slavery. And they thought that was like kind of the biggest deal that they could do, is to leave slavery. The Egyptians were enslaving them. And all these incredible things happen. Seas split open and they're walking through. But then they're in the desert or in the wilderness and they're being led around by God. But the interesting thing is they're being provided by and for by God.
Yeah, because when we think of wilderness, I don't know, when I was a kid, like, you think of the stories of, like, what's the one book, My Side of the Mountain? They get stranded in the mountains, you know, and he's alone in the wilderness, but then he's got stuff around him that he can provide for himself, for shelter, animals to make food and clothing and stuff out of. And that's like, you think of, like, the Alone shows on TV where they're dropped off somewhere, but there's resources around them to be able to take care of some of their needs. And what's interesting to me in thinking about the wilderness of what it actually is when we read it in the scripture, there was just desolate, barren, nothing there. And that's what, you know, kind of life is without God. We don't have what we need. We think we might be able to make a way and find shelter and stuff. But when you experience God in a relationship with him through his son, Jesus, like, there's so much more. And that's what I love about the beginning of Mark and that wilderness idea. Like, he gets right to it, gets to the point, and it's like, yeah, this is desolate, desperate, dire strait situation, but this dude's living here, and all he really has, John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, is the Lord.
Yeah, the chapter starts off saying, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it was written in Isaiah the prophet. So he's talking about the Old Testament. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths for him. And then it goes on, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He's a wild man, right? And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I. He's talking about Jesus. The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so what you see in this is that John the Baptist he's ushering in this new day. He's ushering in this new arrival. And right after this, Jesus' ministry begins. Jesus comes to him in the next few verses, and he's baptized. And he's baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And then at once, this spirit, this is verse 12, sent him out into the wilderness, sent Jesus out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attended him. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about this passage of scripture is that Jesus, when we think of Jesus, we think of, I think we think of maybe a few things, but if he is God, we think of, when you picture God in your head, I don't know, maybe many people kind of picture Gandalf, right? Like big long beard sitting up there stroking it, wise and smart. But Jesus is, you know, about 30 years old at this time, and he is God in the body, but he's also 100% human. He takes on flesh. And what I think is interesting is he's being led by the Spirit. He's not using his God powers at this point. He's using his relationship to God. And so the Spirit at once sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, and he's being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and it says angels attended him. So he has this flesh, he has this humanness, and angels are protecting and guiding and caring for him in this. It's not like he's just, you know, the sword of the Lord whacking off lions out there. There's protection there from God. And he takes on this flesh, and there's limitations to this, and yet he's still God. If you've seen Jesus, the Bible said, you've seen the Father. You've seen God. You've seen a picture of who he is, the characters, and what he does. And I think it's interesting that the first readers would had a different vision in their mind of this wilderness than what we have. They would have thought of it more like in that Old Testament God rescuing type of a thing. And you see even Jesus being rescued. There's angels around him, but he's also being tempted at the same time. And, you know, we can learn from other gospels. The Gospel of Luke talks about it, what those temptations were. And the first temptation that Satan brings to him was bread.
Mm-hmm.
He's hungry.
He's starving.
He's starving. He's hungry out there. He's fasting out there. And remember, he's in a physical wasteland. And he's being tempted with things. And there's a few things. It says he's being tempted with lots of things, but it's a kind of a few main things that's in those passages that it talks about. One is bread, which how many of us haven't worried about provisions? Like, it's like a human condition, right? Like, do I have enough? Where's my next meal coming from? Those types of questions in the midst of this. The other one is that he tempts him with success, and he brings him up on top of this mountain. Satan does and says, hey, this can be all yours. You can have it type of a deal. And, you know, again, how many of us have are not tempted by success, right? Not to say that success is wrong, but how many of us don't want to be dependent upon anyone? And that's, I think, really the kind of the tension in this is, it's like, hey, you don't have to be dependent. You can have all of this. I'm going to give you all of this type of a thing. And I think we all struggle with that, that we want to be not dependent on anyone, but there isn't anyone that is created that is not dependent. All of us are dependent upon God.
Yeah, from the second that we're born.
Yep.
The breath of life.
And then the third temptation that is written and given to us in details. He takes him on top of the temple and says, jump and God will save you, basically. And how many of us, I mean, really have that question too. Do we really trust God? Does he really love me? And he's going, hey, put him to the test. If you trust him so much, do this type of a deal. These temptations are common to us. They're our origin story. But they're not really actually a part of our original story. Pre being banished from the garden, from that fall, we had this connection with God. We weren't worried about provision. We weren't worried about success. We weren't worried about does God care about us, because that relationship was secure. And then we're banished out of the garden, this relationship, this connection to him. were banished out of the garden, and people are walking around in the wilderness. And God has to come and meet us in the wilderness. And I think that's really a really interesting part of the book of Mark is he says, hey, God's come to meet us, basically. Yeah. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. And he meets us in the wilderness. I think that's a really incredible thing that you see throughout the scriptures, that God is always meeting his people in the wilderness when there is nothing, when they're desperate, when they have nowhere else to turn. He meets them.
Yeah, and what's cool when you start to look at the life of Jesus, and scripture talks about how he's tempted the same ways that we are, and you hit on those with those three big temptations. But what stuck out to me is this idea he was with the wild animals too. Mm-hmm. And we know that back in the beginning when God created the world and everything was perfect, Adam and Eve were with the wild animals, but that was pre-fall. So they weren't trying to eat you either. So there's a temptation there for protection. And I think that's kind of what that one that gets where Satan's like, throw yourself down and God will save you. But God was with him and protecting him, and he had the angels attending to him too. And so what gives me kind of hope in the midst of whatever wilderness that we walk through is like, God's still there. He didn't just immediately remove Jesus from the wilderness. The Spirit led him out there. It was a time of testing for him, which temptation is a test for us, right? So, but God was God, and he was fully flesh and fully human, so he could defeat that. But he experienced the temptations and the trials that we face, but he's victorious over them.
Yeah, even in Jesus' wilderness, God has to supernaturally intervene.
Yeah.
With angels to guard him.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really just an interesting correlation or connection to our humanity in this, is that God always supernaturally intervenes in our wilderness. And the Israelites, when they were traveling in the desert, if you know that story, they get out of Egypt, out of slavery, which they thought, oh man, we finally have arrived. And they get into a desert where there's no resources. They get into this wilderness where there's no resources. And they're not in the promised land at that point.
No, they want to go back to slavery.
Right. But why do they want to? And God has to intervene. He has to supernaturally intervene. And so what does he do? He intervenes with this bread from heaven, which is manna. Manna actually means, what is it?
I think my mom used to serve that when we were kids.
Well, it's just, it just showed up, like the dew in the grass every day. God had to supernaturally, it's like 2 million people that he's feeding every day. Like, you're not going to find that. You couldn't go out into like Trap Rock Valley and feed 2 million people, right? There's not enough deer out there or whatever. And they're in a desert. What are you going to eat out there? What are you going to have out there? And God intervenes supernaturally. There's another part where they don't have water. And Moses is supposed to speak to it. He hits it, kind of frowned upon. And there's a whole another story. We won't get into that. But God supernaturally produces water out of this rock. And God intervenes in that. And their clothes don't wear out.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they had their Jordans on and they're like 40 years old.
Yeah.
And then they could sell them when they got to the promised land. The only thing that it is possible in those places of the wilderness is that God has to provide.
Mm-hmm.
We can't provide for ourselves in the midst of that. And spiritually, you can't provide for yourself. I can't provide for myself. There is no bread that is going to satisfy me. There is no water that's going to satisfy me. I can chase after provisions. I can chase after the security of having of success. I can chase after, you know, all of these things, all these temptations that this world has. But at the end of the day, you go, is that it? Do I really feel connected? Well, the reason that people don't is the reason Tom Brady goes and wins a Super Bowl and goes,
Is that it?
Is because that's what he was chasing, that he thought that that was going to satisfy him. But there's only one thing that satisfies us, because we're designed for a relationship with God. And when we don't have that, we don't have the bread from heaven. We don't have the living water from heaven that God provides and intervenes in our spiritual wilderness.
And in those temptations too, what's really cool is that Jesus fought back with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like he was just like, nope, I'm going to tough it out and do it on my own. I think that's so cool about that spiritual component of God's word. Yes, it's words in a book and we have lots of books, but there's something just so powerful and cool about the protection that God's word offers. I mean, we get tempted with stuff and like it may or may not be Satan knocking at our door. It might just be our fallen nature and our sinful hearts that are drawn towards certain things. But when you combat those things and you defend against those things with God's promises and you hold them true in your heart, man, there's nothing that can battle against you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's also interesting in that passage in Mark, the 8th verse. John says, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, right after that, is saying he's being led by the Holy Spirit. And I think that there's an interesting component to that, is that Jesus does that which we can't do for ourselves. Why would we be baptized by the Holy Spirit? Jesus is following the Holy Spirit. He's walking with the Holy Spirit, which is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be guided and directed by that. And John the Baptist, he's having people confess their sins and then baptizing them. And there was a preparation of their hearts in the midst of that. There was a writing their past that happened through this. However, it was true cleansing. True cleansing comes through the Spirit. It comes through guiding and being obedient to the Spirit. You know, people will often say, like, well, you know, because we're pastors, I need to be discipled or I need to be mentored. Well, here's your discipleship. Do what Jesus told you to do. And you don't have to know all the dots and tittles and all of the other things. Those are good, and you should study the Word of God. But how about just trying to be obedient today? How about just trying to be obedient one day at a time? Just follow the Spirit toward obedience toward Christ. Because that is the pathway out of the wilderness. That is the pathway out of where we are spiritually dead. We began to walk with Jesus into this life that he has for us, this abundant life. John 10 talks about this abundant life. But it only comes through obedience. Like, what is it? It's not like I'm mustering up, but it's just listening to the Spirit and going, man, I'm going to do exactly what I know to do, what Jesus has told me to do. And so you kind of have to read the scripture to know some of that. But like today, I can only do what I know to do. And if you know to do right, the Bible says, real simple, you got it. Nike took it from them. Do it. Just do it. And so obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And this is good news that you can use.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you guys have any questions or comments or topics that you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform, or you can always find them at evangelup.org.